Warning, this podcast contains bad words and stories about drugs and sex and overthrowing the government. Proceed with caution. Okay. Thank you. And now on to our show. Wake up, brother, we got nothing to do. Let's go outside, just me and you, and build a fort. We'll pack a lunch, won't be home till after dark. Then after dinner we can sneak back out. You know that high school girl I've been telling you about? Well, she gets undressed about a quarter to nine, and we can watch her do it from the big old pine next door. She got a room on the second floor. Well, looks like another fucked up day in paradise. So it's a rainy Friday morning at approximately a little bit after 1 o'clock in the morning. Looking at you from the past. Hello from May 26, 2017. It's Dan Kelly, aka Shreve Fuji Split, driving a little Japanese hatchback rental car to New York City all of a sudden. What the heck? Why am I going to New York City? Why did I leave my comfortable little studio working on The Daughter of God? For several reasons. First of all, I haven't seen Master Roo in a couple years, and I'd like to see him and do some Tai Chi. And I also want to see Anastasia, intense time in her life. Spend some time with Anastasia. Okay, now it's a little bit more of an urge to go. Gotta figure out a way to go. And then finally, the final factor was I was poking around on the World Wide Web and found out that Wim Hof, the Iceman, was going to give a one-day workshop in New York today. I think it's time. Wim Hof was the last straw. And plus, when the summertime comes, I really don't have any reason to leave Michigan because it's just so nice. So it's still May. This is a good time to get out and make a New York visit. Wim Hof was the last straw. And I just rented this little, some kind of Japanese, white Japanese hatchback, reminiscent of my Honda Civic that I had way back when, that I totaled in a terrible accident. Messed up my optic nerve on one side. That's really the only lasting damage from that accident. Many, many years ago, 1991 maybe. So there's a lot of interesting little resonances going on here. My experience in this hatchback, and I've been driving for quite a while, actually, and I pulled over at around 10 or so, 10:30, to sleep for a few hours at the prime sleep times, 10 to 2. And I did actually sleep. I slept right in this seat, stretching out across that way. It's an amazing feat, really, of yogic contortion. To be able to fold myself up past the little seatbelt nubbins that stick up and the gear shift. And, you know, I had a little Mexican blanket and yoga mat. But I still got it. I can still sleep anywhere. It's one of my superpowers, sleeping anywhere. And then I woke up and I'm like, well, maybe I'll make myself a little more comfortable. And I climbed into the back hatch and I carved out a little cave underneath the bicycle and guitar case. And I actually found that I fit pretty good back there. It was so comfortable back there. I could sleep facing either direction, either left or right on my side. Whereas here in the front, I could only really sleep with my ass towards the back of the car. And I started thinking about people in New York and a friend of mine. I don't know if I'd even call her a friend anymore because I had a little bit of a falling out around the rise of Trump. She told me to, what did she say on Facebook? She said to check my white privilege. Now, I don't know if you know this, but I didn't vote for Trump. I voted for the other woman, Jill Stein. And a lot of people in New York felt that that was a bad move. That was somehow put Trump in office. But you know, I just couldn't vote for either of those two mainstream candidates. And you know, voting is, to me, it's just really pretty pointless. But, you know, I figured if you could get, if Jill could get 5% or whatever it was, then maybe she'd get federal funding or the Green Party, blah, blah, blah. Fucking Bernie. Wanted Bernie, but, you know, he turned out to be just a big old scam as well. Yeah, so American elections, whatever. Not really worth paying attention to, but I did my duty as a citizen. I voted my conscience. But the thing was, a lot of New York people seem to be really upset that Trump became president. I mean, am I upset that he became president? It's meaningless to me. The American empire has been the same for many, many presidencies. And now we got this guy who's like the true face of America. America. I mean, we've been fucking with other countries for such a long time. And the last guy, that nice Barack Obama, very articulate, funny, pretty easy with making kooky videos, but he's cracking down on whistleblowers and bombing people, personally droning people, executing enemies of the state. I'm sorry, I wanted to like that guy, really did. So maybe now that's the thing that black people can get out of the Obama presidency. It's like, okay, yes, black person can be president, but it still means that America in its current configuration is completely fucked. So anyway, getting back to being told to check my white privilege, I was interacting on Facebook and I just posted something on Facebook that was like, look, you know, whoever is president doesn't determine how we live. I think I said something like, we can shine more than ever. And after some back and forth and some banter, and you know, a lot of my friends were like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. And I can't remember exactly what I said, but it was kind of uplifting, I felt. And then my friend, she came on and she got really angry. And then she said, hey, check your white privilege. I'm like, wait, all I'm trying to say to my people, to my community, to my family is don't let this bit of theater wreck your resolve. And she seemed to be of the opinion that the only reason I was saying that was because I was white. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I'm laying in the back hatch. You know, I've been podcasting and reliving my time in New York. Now I'm driving back to New York, so I guess I'm having some associations. I'm sort of playing back my New York experience and saying, well, you know, what if I run into this person or that person? And Esther / Abraham said something I really trying to put into practice, and I guess that's why I'm talking about this. What am I thinking about you, this person who told me to check my white privilege, what am I thinking about her that's keeping me from connecting with who I really am? I'm using her as an excuse to feel shitty about something. And I will admit that that's been a pattern that I'm really interested in letting go of. The pattern of, let me find an excuse to feel bad. There must be a reason for me to feel bad, and let me just, and it got so easy to find something to feel bad, I'd feel bad all the time. Back in the day, I used to have little puppets in my head that would show up and argue with me. It was like having, not multiple personalities, because they weren't taking me over, but they were like voicing their anger or their frustration or their condemnation in my head. And then I would have these conversations in my head with these puppets. And I don't do that anymore, thank God, because that was horrible, having puppets in your head. I hate having puppets in my head. I don't have puppets in my head anymore, and I'm really so appreciative of that. I've made a lot of progress, but I still notice that I'm scoping around for something to feel shitty about, some excuse to feel bad about myself, get angry with somebody. And I really like this woman, Esther Hicks, who channels, that's right, she channels infinite intelligence. And I'd like to tell you my story about that. And then we'll get back to this bit of advice that I was mulling over. So back in 2014, 2015 it was, I'm pretty sure, when my most recent romantic escapade came to a crashing, screeching, grinding halt, my friend Carrie showed up. At that point, I'd been gearing up with Marshall Rosenberg and nonviolent communication, trying to figure out a way to communicate with my soon-to-be non-girlfriend and have the communication be more effective between us. So I was like doing all this nonviolent communication practice and trying. So Carrie shows up one day and I wanted to express my feelings. I wanted to express my feelings to her and I wanted her to give me some empathy, some rapport for the experience I was having. And she just kept kind of making fun of me and laughing. Not in a mean way, but just kind of poking fun and laughing and joking around and turning everything into a bit of comic relief. And I got a little bit mad. I was like, I'm trying to tell you my feelings. I'm trying to express myself and you're just making fun of me. I was honestly a little bit sad and a little bit frustrated feeling when I was talking to her. And she's like, I know, okay, I've been listening to a lot of Abraham Hicks and Esther Hicks. When she channels this entity or a series of entities called Abraham, it's basically, that's just a name, doesn't reflect the Abrahamic character in the Bible, placeholder for all of the entities that come through her. Anyway, getting ahead of myself. So Carrie's like, I've just been listening to a lot of Abraham and I'm just practicing feeling as good as I possibly can and not getting drawn into your drama or whatever. And I was like, well, and so she listened to me like friends do in the old fashioned way. Okay, tell me how sad you are and I'll listen to you being sad. And then she left and I was kind of like, God damn it. What is this fucking Abraham shit? How dare she? I need to figure out what this is. So I started listening to some on YouTube. The last time I encountered a person who was channeling was What the Bleep Do We Know? And I think it was Ramtha. This woman who channels Ramtha, I'm sorry, I forgot her name. But she channels this entity called Ramtha. And Ramtha was like some kind of super warrior dude, who knows how long ago. And the thing about Ramtha is he's kind of an egotistical fuck. I mean, he's kind of arrogant. And it's like, okay, well, great. You know, this very knowledgeable, wise being who kind of is full of himself. So that was my only other experience with a channeling situation. So I was entering into the Abraham Hicks thing with a healthy dose of skepticism. And the more I listened, the more I was like, yeah, okay, I agree with that, and yep, that I've seen that before, and yep, that totally makes sense, and uh-huh. And the more I listened, I was like, fuck, this is actually pretty good. And, you know, my first experience with Esther Hicks was like, I don't know whether this woman is actually channeling an entity or whether she's just an amazing on-stage improvisational virtuoso. She comes in as herself, Esther Hicks, happy laughing, and then she gets into the mode and channels, and Abraham shows up, and then she does a little, Abraham does a little lecture, he does a little lecture, not the same every time, but there's sort of a foundational concept that she riffs off of. And then the rest of the 3 hours, whatever it is, grab somebody from the audience and they'll come up and sit in the hot seat and ask questions. And she'll answer them. The ability of Esther Hicks to respond to these questions from the audience made me think this woman is a brilliant performer. A lot of people listening right now will be like, there's no such thing as channeling. Channeling is bullshit, blah, blah. Fine. I was there too at one point. But I was like, God, just to listen to this woman improvise on stage with these questions and her freaking responses, the world building that she's doing with this paradigm that she's offering is so internally consistent. I kept looking for cracks or for her to misstep or something. And it's just great. It's just brilliant. So as a performer myself, as a big old fucking ham, I was like, wow, this woman really is amazing. Amazing. And then the more I listen, I'm like, I kind of think she may actually be, I think this channeling thing is real. I think Abraham is actually exactly what they purport themselves to be. Factual questions like, are there extraterrestrials? There were a lot of those kinds of questions. People wanting to have answers to very factual type questions. That's not really Abraham's thing. Abraham is more about helping you to get an understanding of what you are, what we are as human beings. What the fuck is a human being, really? I think one of the reasons I got so excited about this over time, and it took months and months before it really kicked in for me, it's stuff I already knew. I'd already known these things that Abraham was talking about from my own experience. And really all that Abraham was doing, I'm not trying to trivialize this. Abraham put things that I already knew into a frame, into a context that kind of all the pieces sort of fell together. Oh, so suddenly all these things that I had intuitively felt and directly experienced in my life suddenly had a framework that they all fit into. And it wasn't just me believing crazy shit. This crazy lady, Esther Hicks, is espousing this crazy shit too. And there's hundreds of people in these workshops that she does all around the world that are also resonating with this concept. I'm a crazy person. I'm not gonna dispute that. I'm a wacko, I'm a mutant, I'm a freak, I'm a weirdo. But suddenly there's all these other people who are also thinking these zany things that I think. Supported? No. Validated, thank you. I've been validated by this woman who channels. I've also been given this gift of context for things that I knew. Not knew through reading books or knew because someone told me. And that was surprising to me because I'm like, what? There's all these other people who have these same kinds of experiences that I have? And there's this one internally consistent story about why that might be? Wow, cool. One of the many interesting things that Abraham offers is if someone is behaving in a way that is causing me some discomfort, I can't force them into a corner and make them be something other than what they are. I can't make them say nice things to me or stop saying mean things. The only thing I can do is change the way I receive it. And if I'm receiving it like, well, you're taking me away from who I want to be, then I'm screwed. I'm screwed because I have no power. I'm completely disempowered by that. But if I say, well, what am I thinking about you that's keeping me from who I want to be? Then it's like, oh wait, it's me. I'm deciding. I'm not assigning my power to you. I'm not assigning my fate to some person, some random person. I'm actually taking responsibility and saying, okay, so wait, I'm thinking something about you that either you don't like me or that you disrespecting me, that you know, whatever. I'm thinking something about you. And I can change my thought. People do things for many, 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 many reasons, and it may not have anything to do with how they feel about me. They may be doing what they're doing or saying what they're saying because they love me. They have some idea of love, and it means they have to take this action. Or they're not even thinking about me at all. They're thinking about their brother or their husband or their son or their cousin. And I just happen to be bringing up something for them that they're struggling with. It has nothing to do with me. It gives me my power back. I can say, oh, okay, what am I thinking about you, whoever, that's keeping me from experiencing the person I want to be, connecting with who I want to be. So I was laying in the back hatch thinking about that. It's funny, now that I'm talking about this, it's all kind of dissipated. How we doing? How's everything going? Going to New York. New York. So who is this Wim Hof guy that I'm going to see? Well, Wim Hof is the Iceman. But actually, this brings me, again, back to Abraham and Esther Hicks. I have been gently, gradually applying these ideas that I already knew. This podcast is part of that. I have been finding more and more of myself. And as I find more and more of myself, resources are starting to pop up. It's crazy, the stuff I've been finding on YouTube recently. I think that's probably why I should put the Daughter of Godcast on YouTube, because I gotta freaking pay it back. Screw Google. These entities called corporations that run these things, but fuck, man, we're in control. We're running the show here. We tell ourselves these stories that there are these corporations that are trying to dominate us, and that the government is, you know, going to come and get me and lock me up in a whatever, and all that stuff is just static. It's just bullshit we tell ourselves, excuses that we give ourselves to feel disempowered. It's not like I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about how scary the government is and how malicious corporations are. I've spent a lot of time and I've thought a lot about it. And I could give you chapter and verse. America is an awful country. And you Americans, putting up with what this government has done around the world, you're complicit. We're all complicit. But even that idea, that's not helpful. Focusing on all the shit that's gone down is not going to actually fix the shit. It's important to be aware of it, to know it's there, and then turn around to what the answer is. What's the solution? What do you want instead? Something I'm excited about. I'm like, oh, because I love creating. I see myself as a big creator. Big. Let me try and say that in English. I see the scope of my canvas as extending out over the entire planet. Not like Sherman Williams paint, where they're pouring a bucket of paint over the earth. No. I can't believe they still have that logo. Have you seen that logo? I'll try and put it up on this episode so you can look at it. It's unbelievably fucked logo that they still have. Cover the earth is the motto. I'm making a movie right now. I want to extend beauty and awakening to the whole earth. I want to offer the insight that I've had. I'd like to see a benevolent, just human presence on the planet, stealing from Pachamama Alliance. I'd like to see a human presence on this planet that makes some sense. Have human beings steward this amazing spaceship that we're on. Starship. There are no words left to speak. And if you feel like I feel, please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. That was episode 040, The Daughter of Godcast. And who am I? My name is Dan Kelly, just a bunch of struts and cables wound up with a key and set in motion. A bit of wind rustling the boughs on which your cradle is balanced. We're all up high, in constant peril of waking in free fall and remembering everything. Yeah, okay, I agree with that, and yep, that I've seen that before, and yep, that totally makes sense, and uh-huh. And the more I listened, I was like, fuck, this is actually pretty good.